Let's stand tonight. Let's begin to lift our voices. Come on, let's begin to lift our hearts to heaven right now. We worship you, Jesus.
Of who you are, I give you glory. The highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all, and the angels cry. Cries. Oh. ages to the Lamb. Oh,
above them all, above all thrones and dominions. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. This is where the people cry, holy. Oh, mighty God, you're holy, you're holy. I give you praise, I give you glory, I give you honor tonight, Jesus. Let's lift our hands all over this house tonight. Come on, let's entertain his presence. Hear your people sing. Come on, hear your people sing tonight. God, I love you. God, I praise you. God, I glorify you, Savior. God, I love your name.
You can return to your seats, be seated tonight. What a great move of the Holy Ghost in this house. Thankful for his presence. Thankful for his touch. And ushers, if you're preparing to receive the Wednesday night tithe and offering, don't forget your daily devotion, your personal time of prayer, Bible reading, your fasting as often as you can. If we have fasted throughout the year, then we can end the year on a binge, I guess, of eating. But make sure you're fasting throughout the year. He that winneth souls is wise. We should always be talking to people about the church, about God, about what's going on. It's an easy conversation starter. Just always mention the church. Somebody in the church, and if people are hungry, they'll ask, what church is that? And you tell them, we've got an easy starter now, telling them we're building a building and doing all of that. So let's be about the Father's business. Everyone needs to be a soul winner. Be faithful in all areas of the church. I know it's Christmas and it's gift giving time, but the church still has bills to pay. In fact, we've got more going on right now than ever. And so please be faithful. If you're not up to date with all of that, please get there. It's the will of God to help support the things of God and the kingdom of God. Also, don't forget our annual Christmas banquet. Started this a few years ago. Seems to be a good thing. Sunday, December 21st at 6 p.m. at Louis Pizza and Italian Restaurant. In fact, I read a little article the other day about the best-kept secret Italian restaurant in the Treasure Valley, and it was Louis Pizza and Italian Restaurant. Not a secret to us, but I guess not much food places are secrets to some of us. Anyway, if you have not signed up, please do so and pay by the 14th. If you need to make arrangements on that, please see Sister Bray. More information on the sign-up sheet. Amen. Let's stand together and pray for the offering. Savior, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for what we feel in this house tonight. Jesus, we ask you to bless the gift and the giver. We'll give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Let's sing and worship as the ushers come. Do that tonight. Come on, let's worship him in spirit and in truth. Oh, we love you. We praise you. We magnify you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Amen. What a great time we have had building this new church. If you haven't been by there, Mateo's so happy about it. Praise God. If you haven't been by there recently, platform is top's not on it, but all the rest of it's there. And the sound booth is up, and it's just coming together. We get windows Monday. Siding is delivered on Tuesday. And it's going to start looking almost finished until you come inside and realize that we have a long way to go. As the song says, there's a short time to get there. Praise God. But we are thankful for everyone who has participated in that. And if you cannot participate, please pray. If you can't pray, raise money. Do something. Help us out. We're thankful for it. Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, Luke chapter 2. I'm just thankful to be in church. Amen. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 1. Now, I was going to preach on the wise men. Nobody laughed. That used to be like a key thing to get a response, but probably upset that we didn't break up into fellowship, so nobody's laughing now. But we'll talk about the wise men. Just in case you didn't know, the wise men were not at the nativity. They were not at Jesus' birth. He was about 2 years old when they finally found him. But wise men still seek him. I don't care if you get there late, just get there. So we'll talk more about that later. But tonight, really felt this afternoon to talk about this. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 1, it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Some things have not changed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrus was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because of he was the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. I want to preach on this next verse, this next part of this verse, because there was no room for them in the inn. She laid him in a manger because there was no room in the inn. I want to preach tonight with the help of this church and the Holy Ghost. Room to receive. Room to receive. Can we lift our hands, our hearts, our minds? Come on, in the name of Jesus. We glorify you, Savior. Oh, we magnify you, my King. Come on, if you're thankful for what you feel in the house tonight, can you make room for him? Can you stretch out a little bit further tonight? We worship you, Jesus. We glorify your name, Savior. We give you praise. Everybody said amen. God bless you. You can be seated. You'll find him, the Bible says, the angels told the shepherds. And I do think it's kind of neat that the first people that the heavens told were the shepherds. Those that would watch the flock, those that would feed the flock, those that would protect the flock. They told them about Jesus. He said, you'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. What a sad state for any child to be born. If you've been around farm animals, they're not clean. Oh, look how cute they are. Yes, but guess what? They're not clean. Oh, look how sweet they are. Yes, but if given an opportunity, those large farm animals will do you dirty. And it's not fun to always clean up after them. And so for any child, it would have been a bad place to be born. Much less the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Much less God Almighty manifest in flesh. Because nobody made room for him. The Bible tells that that room is a spot, a space, but limited by occupancy, figuratively a condition or an opportunity. There was no spot for him. There was no space for him. We were too occupied with other things to make room for him. There were other conditions that were adverse to allowing Jesus a place in my life. There was no opportunity. The Bible said, when I have a convenient season, I will call for you. That literally translates to an opportunity. As we therefore have opportunity, that is our convenient season. The story would have not changed if the innkeeper would have given up his bed. They would have said, you'll find them in room number 3. They would have told the shepherds where to find him. But because he was not, there was no room made for him. In an inn. In a lodge. In a hotel. That's what they do for a living. That's their purpose. The Bible said in the inn is a lodging place or a guest chamber. An inn. No more frustrating thing than driving down the road and being tired, pulling into a hotel, going to the front desk and them saying, we're sold out tonight. Anybody ever been there? I think my wife and I, coming back from Greenville, Texas, stopped at 4 or 5 hotels. The one we finally got a room in Pecos was not worth staying in. I think we stayed about 45 minutes in that room, just long enough for me to get a shower to wake me up and get back in the truck and just keep on driving. There's nothing worse than trying to find some place to sleep and the place of rest. Jesus said, even right before his crucifixion, he said, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? In Mark, he said, where is the guest chamber? Where have you prepared me a place that I can eat the Passover with my disciples? The Bible said he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. When the Lord comes to me looking for a place, I want him to find a place not only furnished but prepared. When the Lord said, I want a room in your heart, I want room in your life, I want to occupy your being, I want there to be a place that I have furnished, that I have prepared for the Lord. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse number 8, it fell on a day that Elisha passed in Shunem. And there was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned thither to eat bread. Can I just tell you tonight that as often as you'll make opportunity for Jesus, you can visit with him. As often as you will prepare a place for him, he will visit. But behold, he stands at the door and knocks. And if anyone open unto him, he will sup with them. If you want to talk to Jesus every day, you can. If you want to meet with him every morning, if you'll make a room for him, if you'll give an occasion for him, if you'll give him opportunity, he'll turn in. And she said to her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make a chamber, I pray thee, a little chamber on the wall. Let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And so shall it be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. The word chamber there means something lofty. It also means a second story room or even one on the roof. something that's upper, something that has position, something that's above the rest. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, all careers, all opportunities, all hobbies, everything I like and don't like, your name is above all of it. I'm going to tell you, God, I made you a place. I made room for you. I put a place there. Come on, somebody, you got to understand, in this busy life that we live, we still got to make space for Jesus. In all the things we got going on, we still need to make room to receive. Come on, is there room in your house? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your life to receive from Jesus? See, there's not a place when trials come. When heartache comes, when opposition comes, where are you going to go? Oh, it's quiet. When there is no place prepared for him, where are you going to take your problems? Oh, I wish I had somebody with me tonight. Because this Shunammite woman, when she made a place for him and he would come by and visit, he made her a promise. You're going to have a son. She said, come on, I gave up on that dream a long time ago. And she had one. And the days were accomplished that boy got sick. And he died. And where'd she take him? She took him to the room that she prepared for the man of God, and she laid him on that bed. She said, I've already got a place in mind. Hey, long before she said it is well with my soul, she made a place to lay her burden because she had met the man. She had met the Lord. She had met a place. I'm going to tell you, when you're going through something in life, you better hope you got room for Jesus. When you're going through a hard time, you better hope you have room for the master. Amen. The Bible says in Acts 13, 1 and 13 that they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the brother of James. And there these all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. That upper room was a high place apart from everything else. It was an upper chamber. It was over. It was above and beyond. It was superior. Can I tell you, it's not just about Jesus on Christmas Day. It's not just about Jesus on Easter Sunday. It's not just about Jesus when I'm going through trouble, but he is superior. He is above. He is higher. I want to go to an upper room. I want to put him in a place, a position, an authority. He has dominion, but I want to put him in a place of dominion in my life. He has authority, but I want to put him in a place of authority in my life. I want to make room. Not only was a room prepared, but that's where the Holy Ghost fell. In a place prepared. Above, superior to everything else. When I'm going through what I'm going through, whatever that may be, I want to make sure I have a place that's superior. When everything else is chaos around me, I want a lofty place to climb to. He says in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. I want to make sure that my life is not so overwhelmed and not so busy that I cannot put a lofty place for Jesus and I to get together. Hey, I'm going to tell you tonight, you're here because you made room for him. You're in the house tonight because in your schedule, you made room for him. I don't know where everybody else is. I don't
don't know what everybody else in the city is thinking, but we have made room for Jesus tonight. It's busy. It's the hustle and the bustle of a holiday season. But somewhere, I said, no, that's where me and Jesus meet. That's where I go to meet my Savior. I'm not going to leave him in a manger. I'm not going to leave him out in the back. I want to make room for him tonight. Come on, somebody. You made room for him. Somebody else may have better accommodations. Somebody else may be more suitable, but we're here. Somebody else may be better equipped. Somebody else may be more qualified. Someone else may have it all together, but here we are. We made room for him. Nobody else did, but we did. Maybe there's someone with no problems. Maybe there's someone with no faults, failures or mistakes, shortcomings, self-esteem issues. Maybe someone that's popular and fits in with the crowd, but they didn't make room for him. Maybe someone's got it all together, got it all figured out. They don't have any questions. They can write novels, do podcasts. They don't need a pastor or a church. But we made room for him. With our doubts, with our questions, with our chaos, we still carved out. We etched it in the calendar. We didn't pencil it in. We pinned it in. We chiseled it in with knife and chisel, with hammer and chisel. We are going to meet Jesus. I made room for him. There's no time that I'm too busy. There's no place where I can't stop and meet Jesus. Someone may be better off than we are, but we made room for him. Maybe there's someone that would have been a better choice than you or I. Maybe there's someone that would have had a better future, so to speak. With all the talent, the ability, the resources, the accomplishments, I mean, hey, if you'd have had a millionaire pastor, this building could have been done by somebody else. If you'd have had a bigger church, we could have hired it out. That's not who made room for him. Well, it's one of these days. Yeah, but one of these days may be too late. I don't want to make room for him when it's convenient. I want to make room for him because him. I don't want to make room for him when my life is all together. I want him to be in my mess so that when my life is all together, I know who did it. They didn't make room for him, and they aren't doing it now, but we are. You're here. You're in the house right now. You're not just talking about it. You're here. You made room in your day. Anybody busy right now? Anybody got something going on right now? Anybody got other places they could be? But we're here. We got to make up in our mind, church, that I'm not leaving him in a manger. I don't want to be the one that was listed in the Bible that made no room for the Savior when he came by. You put more into making a room for Jesus, perhaps far more than people who have far more to offer him just by showing up. Can I tell you, if he was okay with being born in a manger, he's okay coming into your mess. If he was all right with being born in a filthy stall, and the clean stuff was hay that the animals didn't eat, that he is 100% okay with walking into your world. Right in the middle. Yeah, you don't have to get your household in order.
That's his job. You don't have to get yourself all cleaned up. That's his job. Hey, the angels were crying. The shepherds came running. And even wise men heard about him and made their way to find him. He's 100% all right to come into your life as long as you'll make room for him. He'll say, yeah, I'll stay there. I'll live there. I'll clean this up. The Bible said, then they which gladly received his word were baptized. There's the deal. I got to receive it. I don't have to understand it. I have to receive it. There's been lots of times my pastor preached. Not that I didn't understand the words he was saying. Not that I didn't understand the concept. I didn't always understand why it took that. But I mixed it with faith. I got the word and I mixed it with faith, because without faith it's impossible to please him. And I mixed it with faith and I received it. And I stand before you tonight unworthy, unrighteous, and unholy in my own eyes, but before God. He made room, I'll visit him. He made room. He's imperfect. He doesn't have it all together, but he made room. And that's where I, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Can I tell you, you don't have to be a son of God to receive him. If you open your house, open your life, he'll make you a son of God. Oh, come on, somebody. I can't get it all figured out before I get the house all in order. I need him here to show me where to put the stuff that's out of order. Let's stand to our feet tonight. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God, which things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man says, not doing it. I got too much going on. I'm too busy. There's other things that I want to get taken care of in life. But the spiritual man, the hungry man, you know what the Bible says about the full soul, the one that's eaten too much, the one that's satiated? The full soul loatheth even the honeycomb. But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. I'm not happy with my life. I'm hungry. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. They that are sown on good ground are such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. You know, you could plant a seed in the ground, but if the seed rejects it or the ground's not good, it won't produce. But you put a seed in a hungry soul. You plant the word in a hungry heart. You may get 30-fold. You may get 60. You may get 100. Say, oh, those 30 percenters, you know what they say, the average increase in a farm that's successful, that breaks even, is 8%. Jesus said, if you'll receive this, your minimum is 30. Not money, not finances. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about fruits, blessings, growth. I got nothing to offer him. That's fine. Do you have an open heart? Do you have an open mind? Are you hungry for more? Let God put his word in you and receive it. Whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Anybody here got power from the Holy Ghost? Anybody know what the Holy Ghost feels like? Anybody say, yeah, I've got that. I've received that. He said, open the windows. He said, bring it to my house. Prove me now. You know what would be amazing for this church? Is if every single individual, every family, every husband, every wife, every son, every daughter, every individual in this church would prove him. God, you said, if I would bring it to you, if I'd make room, if I'd make opportunity, if I'd make a space for you, you said you would open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there may not be room enough to receive. Anybody want to start living in overflow? Anybody want to start living in the blessings of God? Anybody want to start living in the mercies and the grace of God? Come on, that's not prosperity doctrine. That's a good life living for the Lord. Come on, prove him tonight. God, whatever I got going on, if I'm not made room for you, let me make room for you right now. God, whatever I'm doing, if I've not made room for you, come on, give it and shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. I believe God wants to prove to somebody tonight, if you'll make room for me, I'll give you so much you ain't got enough room to receive it. Come on, lift your voice, lift your hands, lift your heart tonight. Come on, lift your soul tonight. Doesn't matter, but I'm going to tell you that it does matter. You need to make room for him tonight.
I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now.
Right now.
I give all myself to you. Here
your spirit move through me. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Lord, I give your spirit move through me. Here I am. I need, oh, I need thee.
Lift our hands all over the house tonight. Come on, let's lift our hands. Let's lift our hearts. Let's lift our souls. God, I glorify you, Jesus. God, I glorify you, Savior. God, I love you today. See, Pastor, I get all these things. How am I supposed to put God first? How am I supposed to make room for him? Saw an analogy one time of a guy that used a set of chest of drawers. He said, if God's supposed to be first, top shelf, top drawer, what happens about my job and my kids? What if I wake up in the morning before I could pray, my kids screaming and crying, and then I got this, then I got that, then I got this. How am I supposed to put God first? He said, do you understand? God's not the top drawer. He's the whole thing. This if we have to prioritize all of that and try to find somewhere to fit God in, and he's not the central core of our life, it's not going to work. Jesus is everything to us. We're not just Christians on Sunday and Wednesday and special services. Everything, every drawer that I have, everything I have in life revolves around him. I may not get to pray first thing in the morning when I get up, but I'm going to find a place to pray. I may not get to go to the church the first thing in the morning when I get up, but I'm going to find time to go to the church. And what I'm not going to do is not live for God because I can't make him number one. He's everything. He's all in all. And so if we make up in our mind that I made room for him in my life revolves around him. I've been accused of that. Well, your life just revolves around the church. Well, thank God. Thank God. It's paid off so far. And I think it'll pay off with dividends if we make it to the other side. Because we'll wish that we made him number one if we don't make it to heaven. Room to receive. Put him in a lofty place in your life. Put him in a place of superiority in your life. Make him first. Make him first. Let's lift our hands tonight and thank the Lord for what we feel in this place. We love you, Jesus. We glorify your blessed name, Savior. Let's clap our hands all over the house tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. We are so thankful tonight to have one of our former bus children who's now a man. Fidel's here. My wife invited his family, I think 9 years ago or so, maybe a little bit longer, out of the Hardy Estates that's happened to be right by our new building. And he got the Holy Ghost a few years ago. One, come back and get baptized. And so tonight he's here to get a little Bible study on it. Next Sunday night we're going to baptize him in Jesus' name. We're looking forward to that. Amen. Praise God. If you don't know Fidel, take time tonight to come by, introduce yourself, let him know who you are. Greet somebody tonight before you leave. Please don't rush off. It's 8:35, 8:36, somewhere around there. That's pretty quick preaching. I think it's like 24 minutes. It's a record. Don't get spoiled. Praise God. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.